Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and I'm pleased to welcome in the studio tonight Jason Mewes. You know him as Jay from Jay and Silent Bob.
Hello.
Thanks for coming. Do you actually go by Jay, or should we say Jason?
Either one's good.
Either one's good. So what are you up to these days?
Not much. Playing a lot of video games.
I heard you were on Degrassi. My kids' friends were very impressed by that.
Yeah. We just, the DVD just came out. Me and Kevin were on three. Well, he was on three episodes, and I was on two. And we just went back and did two more episodes. So
let me sort of set this up for everybody. Kevin Smith, Silent Bob, directs and produces a lot of these films.
Correct.
Chasing Amy. That was the last time he was on Loveline. He was up with his girlfriend.
Joey
Lawrence.
Yeah, so that must have been years and years ago.
That was years ago.
He's married now. Is it seven years?
Wow. We haven't seen him in a long time. He's still doing lots of stuff, right?
Yeah. We just got done. He's editing right now, Clerks 2.
That's coming out in the summer?
They're looking for August, I believe.
Again, so both Jason and Kevin were in Clerks, which is classic, right? Everyone has seen that, hopefully. And then Clerks 2 coming out in the summer.
Yep.
You happy with that one?
Yeah, it was fun.
Do you live out here now?
I do. I live right in Hollywood.
And you originally grew up in New Jersey?
Yeah.
How'd you end up out here?
Kevin moved out here. A lot of my friends moved out here, Milanakis.
You knew Andy from out there?
I know Andy for 9 years now. I'm from New York, Andy Milanakis.
Did you know him when he was still a computer hacker?
I did.
What were you doing
then? That's how we met because, we have a View Askew board. We have our own website,
Right.
And he used to go on there, and we did a signing in New York, and we used to chat on the board. And
it's dirty talk. Hey.
That's Andy.
he used to do mixtapes. So anyway, we were talking about it online, and he met me at this Mallrat signing.
And was he a fan of the movies?
I believe he was on the board, I think.
And you figured he was just some 14-year-old kid who was into the movie.
Yeah. And he brought me a tape at the signing, and I was like, how old are you? And he's like, I think he was 21 at the time, or 22. And I was like, let's go to the bar. Because we were done with our signing. Me and him went and hung out all night and got drunk.
Oh, how funny.
It was fun. And we hung out. We've been hanging out ever since. And he moved out here, and Kevin had moved out here.
This is before he was Andy Milanakis.
It was.
He was still.
Well, he was always Andy Milanakis.
But he was an IT guy. Yeah. I mean, to everyone else, he wasn't. He was just a sort of IT guy. Yeah, he was just at a company, operating, functioning. Fixing servers and things.
Yep.
Amazing.
And that's it. So, and then he came out here and he was doing the Jimmy Kimmel show.
Right. And you followed him out here?
No, I didn't follow him out here, but I'm saying, a lot of my friends moved out. Like, four of my friends moved out here, and only one I have back in Jersey is my sister. So I was like, I decided to make the move out here finally. Plus, the weather's nice.
And when you first made the films with Kevin, you were still living in New Jersey, and you knew each other from back there?
I've known Kevin since high school. So
you're like lifelong friends, basically.
Yeah.
What was he like in high school?
I don't know. I didn't really hang out with him as much in high school because he's four years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like freshman. He was senior.
How'd you hook back up as friends then?
So there's a community center in our town, Highlands, and he used to work there, and I used to go there and play hockey all the time and stuff. And he liked comics, and I like comics. So we started talking about comics and comic books. And we started going to comic book shows in New York together and stuff.
Do you collect comics?
I do. I haven't got any in a while. I have to catch up, but we have a comic book store in Red Bank called Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash.
Oh, interesting.
In Red Bank, and there's one in Westwood, on Westwood Boulevard.
Here in L.A.?
Yeah, here in L.A.
Wow.
1045 Westwood Boulevard.
There
check
you go.
It out.
We figured you get something to plug tonight anyway. And are you single now? Are you involved with somebody? What's happening in your love life?
I'm dating a girl named Jana. That's been about a month now.
Oh, it's our new relationship.
It is new. I haven't dated anyone in, I think, 4 or 5 years. Like, committed relationship.
Just hooking up.
Just a little fooling around, I was trying to find, there's always something, hang out with someone, that, it's okay, but...
How old are you now? 31. Okay.
31. I'm getting old there. Getting up there.
All right, let's see if we can help some of our callers out, all right? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. This is Roman, 19. Roman?
Hey, Dr. Drew, I'm a big fan.
What's up, buddy?
I'm having problems staying excited with monogamy, I guess. Like, I'm dating this girl right now. We've been dating for 6 months. And I'm always thinking about getting oral from other girls.
He's 19. Jay?
And 19. I've acted on this before in the past. Like, I've cheated on a bunch of girlfriends in the past. And I'm really trying to not mess this one up. So...
Now, are you telling me you can't control your impulses, or are you telling me, geez, I'm not ready for a relationship maybe, and I'm just a screw-up, I'm 19, I can't quite manage this yet? Which is it? Because they're very different issues. If you can't contain your impulses, that's a more serious thing.
I can. Like, I can. I'm just having trouble staying excited with just one girl, I guess.
Well, if you add up that whole score here, Jay, what do you think about this? 19... You have trouble getting an erection with her?
You're too young to date, anyway.
Fine.
Too young to date?
Well, not too young, but I'm saying, you know, explore a little bit more, I would think.
Too young to have a girlfriend.
If you can't control, I would say don't settle down yet. That's why I was just saying I haven't dated in 4 years until recently. Because
you knew you couldn't settle down with one person.
Well, just because I wanted to wait until I found someone that I know that if some attractive girl wants to go down on me, I'm going to be able to say no because I care about this other girl.
Roman, can you do that?
No.
Why not just keep her, tell her you just want to hang out with her and hang out with other girls. Just be honest with her. Tell her to deal.
Or there's a little bit of a different, but that's, I'm with you on that, absolutely. Right. But there's another possibility here. If you sort of add up your score here, Roman, can't maintain a relationship, starting to lose your sexual interest very quickly.
Yeah.
All that kind of adds up to difficulty with closeness, difficulty with intimacy.
That sounds right. Like, yeah. I even called a girl one time and tried to get oral from her, and it just didn't work out, which, I mean, I'm kind of happy about that now, but like I can't even believe I called her in the first place, you know?
Roman your real name? Do you think your girl's listening right now?
Actually, I think she is. She wanted me to call in about this.
She knows.
She knows I called this other girl and that it didn't work out.
Okay.
Like, we've been having this big trust issue, and...
Are you an addict, Roman? You addicted to anything else?
Yeah, I'm addicted to marijuana, if you could say that. Can you be addicted to marijuana?
To marijuana? I wouldn't say addicted. I'd say it's more of a habit thing.
If not addicted, you can go ahead and stop and stay stopped. The problem is very few people can do that. It's actually one of the most serious addictions we're dealing with right now. It's probably... pretty much 50% of admissions for chemical dependency involve pot right now, if not pot as the primary drug.
Yeah,
when people stop pot, they miss it sometimes the most of any of their other drugs. The cravings, the drive, the preoccupation with it is profound. So, I run a program. I deal with it every day. And it's one of the more serious ones we're dealing with right now.
If
you're still using it, go ahead and stop and see what it feels like.
No, I have stopped. I have 3 years right now. Not off of that. I've done it all. So, it wasn't the toughest for me. It was the easiest for me. Well, but that's me personally.
Well, no. Here's how pot works. It's the first drug you find,
mm-hmm.
and you love it.
Yeah.
You love it. It's the greatest thing ever. When you found something you love more than anything else, what do? You do that every day.
Yeah.
And it works, and it feels great. Somewhere between 1 and 30 years, and it's different for every individual, that I love it feeling starts to wear off. And you start getting depressed and irritable. You experience it as, this doesn't work anymore. I need to smoke more. You start smoking more, and suddenly you're not feeling good. You can't do things. You're irritable. And that's when you switch over to something else. And those other things can become more difficult to stop because the pot you leave behind. But if I catch you just as you switch to amphetamine, let's say, the one you'll miss, not the amphetamine, you'll miss the pot because that's a much better feeling than speed. Even though speed corrects the depression of the marijuana.
Really?
And so, but if you go on to opiates and you get strung out on opiates for 3 years, that's the one because it affects the same part of the brain as the pot.
Yeah.
It's anterior cingulate. And so the Vicodin, the OxyContin, the heroin, whatever, that becomes a much more powerful drive at that point. But most people graduate to speed and they don't miss the speed, they miss the pot.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of how that goes. So, Roman, you're in the beginning of all these issues. Was your dad an alcoholic or something, or your mom?
No, neither of them. My grandpa had an addiction to cigarettes.
Nah, that doesn't count. Well, maybe you're not marijuana addicted. Maybe you're just compulsed, and maybe you're going to put this all down, and it's going to be part of your sort of adolescent enthusiasm and exuberance. But I'm really concerned about how you're containing how you're managing relationships. It suggests trouble in the future. And if your girlfriend's listening, Roman's girlfriend, be prepared to jump ship. He can either tolerate closeness or he can't. And whether he's ready for it or because he's got a long term problem, either case, it's not good for you. Emily, 17.
Can we get high?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Emily.
Oh my God, I'm like so in love with you. And like, I can't believe how I love it. And I'm working on a group project right now. People don't believe me. Wait, hold on a second.
Did you hear that? I don't quite know what was said, but.
Sorry, I had to turn speakerphone off. Okay, so I'm really hoping you can answer this question because no one will tell me why.
Okay,
so,
slow down. Okay. You ever seen the film The Clerks?
Yeah, I have.
I'm a Jane Silent Bob.
No, I totally have. It's like those two guys who work, and one's at the video store and one's at the drugstore.
Yeah.
She's right.
Well, this is Jay. And you see him on Degrassi?
No.
Okay. All right, what's your question, Emily?
She's like, okay, I don't care.
So
it's all about
is,
you.
Like, what? Okay, so yesterday I came into my friend's room, and he just got out of the shower, and he had one red foot. And, like, it was like... like when it's really steamy and your skin kind of turns red.
Yeah.
And I was like, Kenya, why do you have a red foot? And Q was like, like, doesn't it happen to you? And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, I guess it only happens to guy. And then Yoshi walked in the room and they were like, Yoshi, don't you get a red foot? He's like, yeah, it's my left foot. And they're like, oh, I guess it's because you're left-handed. And I was like, okay. And it was really weird. And then I asked another friend and I was like, why do boys get red feet? And he's like really explicit. So he would tell me and he's like, oh, I'm not going to tell you. It's kind of personal. And I, like, harassed him for a long time, and he wouldn't tell me. And then I asked, like, another guy, like, online without telling him that I was me and, like, pretending that I was, like, one of his friends. And I was like, why do you guys get one?
Shut up!
What?
Emily, you're in college now?
Yeah, I am.
So at 17?
Yeah.
Kind of young, huh?
Yeah.
What happened? You skipped some grades, or?
My mommy and daddy let me go to first grade when I was still in kindergarten because I knew how to read.
Oh, very nice. And evidently, you're up in Stanford now?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. My best friend and I have been listening to you since we were, like, 13.
Well, listen to this conversation, Emily, right now. Jay, okay. Ever had a red foot?
I never had a red
foot. No, me neither, Emily. So... it seems like your buddies there in the dorm were sort of ganging up on the youngin'.
No, I don't think so because I asked like a bunch of random guys and they like didn't know either. Or like, no, not that they didn't know. Sorry, I can't think because I'm really nervous. But I asked some other random guys and they started laughing and they were like, I'm not telling you what it is. They're like really good friends who like don't talk to each other either. Or good friends with me.
I think people are ganging up on you. I really do. I don't know what, I'm trying to figure out what the two red feet were that you actually saw.
It's like one. And wait, so if I find out, because my friend said that if you didn't tell me, that he would tell me. So if I find out, can I call back and let you know?
Why don't you put us on hold, and I'll come back to you in about 10 minutes, and you find out what they're up to, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Oh, my goodness. This is Rachel, 17.
Oh, okay. Hi. My thing is, okay, I work with a bunch of guys that are a lot older than me. I'm like, you know, I'm only 17. And... this one guy, he's really, really hot. Like, I'm not kidding. And we flirt a lot, and he's married.
You must work in a restaurant.
No, I work at a car dealership.
Oh, so much the better.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So it's a salesman that you're flirting with?
No, he's a detailer, actually.
A detailer. He's so hot the way he details those cars. It's awesome. All right, so he's married.
Yeah, he's married.
What the F are you doing, Rachel? What's the deal?
I don't know. He started it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it okay then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what am I thinking?
Anyways, he's 25, and he's married. And I don't know. We got to talking one night, and we just, I don't know, it just kind of got out of hand. And then he called me on the company phone. And he pretty much just openly offered to have sex with me.
Shocking. Can you imagine that? A young 25-year-old asking an 18-year-old to have sex with them? That is shocking.
Well,
Jay, what should she do?
Me?
No, we're asking Jay.
Are you asking if you should have sex with this guy?
Well, I don't know.
What about when you're married one day? Would you want your husband to have sex with someone else?
Well, no.
Is your fantasy that he's going to leave his wife and run off with you?
No, not at all.
Good.
But my thing is...
Karma. It's bad karma if you sleep with him. You get married one day, it'll happen to you. That's what I believe.
I think that's a reason. Karma. That's a reasonable way to approach this, Rachel.
No, you know, she's like, no, that ain't the answer I wanted.
Well,
I wanted
no,
to tell him to have great sex with him.
Does he have kids?
No.
Thank God. Thank Christ.
I'm not meaning it to be, like, bad or anything, but...
I know you don't mean it to be, but it will be for somebody.
Well, I know, but I don't know.
There's plenty of other guys out there who aren't married. Sure, hotter than him.
I don't think?
Well, then why go with someone that's married?
I don't know.
It's naughty. You're naughty.
Does no one ever show you ever show you any interest other than this guy?
I haven't had a lot. I mean, I've had one guy, but...
Do you like the fact that this guy's unavailable?
No, I don't like that at all. I like the fact that he's hot.
All right, Rachel. Well, we can repeat the same thing 30 times here. You're going to do what you're going to do. For God's sakes, use birth control, whatever you do, and wear a condom. God only knows who else this guy's pulled this crap with. Amanda, 19.
Yes.
Here you go. Amanda.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. I have a question about my husband and I's sexual relationships. We live at his parents' house, and we have two kids, been married for one, together for four. Don't really like the fact of having intimate relationships at his mom's house.
Are the kids right in the room with you?
Oh, no. No.
Have you seen that commercial where the mom's in there going through the drawers, setting up their socks, and goes, honey, there's an adult man in bed, and she's talking to him as though he's like a young teenager. And then all of a sudden this woman sits up and he goes, oh, hi, honey. And she goes, we got to get our own house. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous,
no, I haven't seen that commercial.
This is why you don't get married. You're 19, by the way. So what does he do for a living?
Right now he's unemployed. That's why we live with him.
Right now? Always a bad way to start a description of what someone's doing for employ. Well, right now, you're not going to say he's an astronaut, airline pilot, neurosurgeon. No. Right now, he's working at Arby's, or right now he has no work.
Right, he has no work right now.
What are you doing?
I've been a stay-at-home mom for 3 years.
Why isn't he working?
He lost his job.
Yeah, I'm sure he lost his job. As a matter of fact, why he's not working, but what's the reason that prevents him from going forward with further work?
A car.
God, our college would be so explicit in what you're asking. So concrete. What is
car.
It? What?
It's a car, transportation.
He can't get a car to find a job.
All right.
That's BS. What's the real reason?
His parents are always gone, and their car is usually the one that we use.
What's the real reason?
That is the real reason.
No way.
Yeah. His buses,
yeah,
cabs.
He'd find a way. He's got to support a family. What's the real reason? He just sit around smoking pot? Is he just lazy generally?
God, no.
Is he drinking all the time? What's he doing?
Oh, no. That's not it at all.
What's the problem?
He's always on the internet looking for jobs and posting his resume and everything, but
right. It's
just... And nobody ever calls him back.
Is something about him we should know? Does he present strangely? Is he?
I don't know. He's a very good guy.
That doesn't make sense, Amanda. So then he will find work. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, he will find work. It's an active economy right now. People get jobs. He'll find work. He'll carpool with his buddies. He'll go to work. And you guys get an apartment, move out. That's got to be the goal. In the meantime, you got to kind of suck it up. But he can't. He can't wallow. He can't just meander through all this. He has to be very, very concerted in his effort to get out of there. And if he's not, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. It's not that he's not finding work. There's something wrong with him and his ability to create action or he's lazy or he's got something wrong with him emotionally. I don't know what it is, but he needs to find a job. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree.
I mean, if you think about it, if you're in wherever they are, and you've stuck with your parents and kids and your wife, I mean, you'd become a day laborer, right?
Yeah, if you had to work Starbucks or something.
You'd do something, right? You'd do anything. You get out, you find a way to do something. And the fact that he doesn't do that, I mean, is he spoiled? That thing's too
good for
him.
Looking at porn on the internet. He's telling his wife that, he's looking for a job, but he's not. He's downloading porn
No.
on the chat rooms. No?
In chat room.
But where do you live at? Do you live in like a? Do you live in Hollywood?
No, we live in Independence, Missouri.
This shows all over the country. So, not everyone lives in Hollywood.
Never mind.
I know it shocks you. But so much the better. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of opportunities in little towns.
Mm-hmm.
You can network. Well, is it possible he's just goofing around on the internet?
I hope not.
Ah.
Oh, you don't know? You don't watch?
Well, no, I do watch. I'm usually right by him because the computer's in the living room. So
maybe, why don't you maybe have him stay? Not that you should, but maybe he could stay home. You can get a job, no?
He's not putting
any hustle on his game.
What's the matter?
I could. It's just I like being home with my kids.
Good. That's great, and it's noble. And you stay with your parents then. You stay with your in-laws. Fantastic.
Enough said.
So why don't you get
that's
no
it.
Play, player?
That's where you go. All right. Well, let's talk. Let's go back to Emily at Stanford and see if she's found out what the red feet are about. Emily? Emily?
Emily.
Right
now, so can you
go
back to another like 5 minutes?
Okay, hold on, we'll put you on hold. Five more minutes. The friend's on the phone, gonna tell her about the red feet. Emily will believe just about anything, I'm afraid to say. All right, Jay and Silent Bob is the movie, and the Clerks and Clerks 2 coming out in the summer. We got Jay here. Those of you that watch Degrassi have seen him on that as well. Chasing Kevin, Chasing Amy, and Evening with Kevin Smith, and all kinds of stuff with Kevin Smith, of course. You were in Scream 3 as well.
Yeah, Kevin and I had a quick scene, one scene in it.
That's fun. All right, well, listen, we've got your calls lined up here. Call us at 1-800-LOVE-191, and Dr. Drew and Jay will be right back.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Loveline will be right back.
That's right, 1-800-LOVE-191, Loveline. He is Jay from Jay and Silent Bob and Clerks. And we have a question for him right now. This is Anthony, and then we're going to solve the mystery of the red foot. Anthony, 15.
Yes.
What's up,
hey,
buddy?
Dr. June. Hey, Jason, big fan.
Thank you.
Jason, do you have any upcoming movies coming up besides Clerks 2? Like any plans?
He's got a list you want to read that list?
I won't read them all, but I did some independents. So, I mean, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I did like a movie called Bottoms Up, and Jack's Law. I've done a few, but we'll see what happens. Do I have anything that I'm planning on shooting after? Not right now. We just got done about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago with Clerks 2, and now I'm just sitting around playing video games and nothing exciting.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah,
it's
for
good
sure.
Time,
you sound high, dude.
No, I'm not.
I know.
All right, anything else, Anthony?
No, just saying. I love Jim James, Simon Bob, strike back.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
Good times.
Good times. Here's Andy, 21, going to help us solve the red foot problem. We had a call, Emily from Stanford, who saw somebody coming out of a shower with a red foot, and all the boys ganged up on her and said, oh, yeah, that's something guys get, and we can't tell you what it is. So, Andy, what do you think it is?
I don't know. I've had a few friends who had the same thing, and they just say it's athlete's foot. You know, like when they're in the shower, they just scratch it, and their feet get red.
Oh,
and then especially
boy.
If you live in dorms, you know those bathrooms are nasty, and we're sure that stuff spreads around.
Now this is wonderful.
There's a number of different funguses you can get on your feet, and they can turn the foot red. And there are also some vascular problems that people can get, as well as swelling in the foot. But let's see what Emily. It's not something that guys get.
Yeah.
I'm saying. Emily, what'd you find out?
Emily.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hi, Emily. What'd you find out?
Okay, I'm really embarrassed because it was so anticlimactic, and now I feel stupid, and I feel like you only let me on the air because I go to Stanford, but I'm not really that dumb. And my friend and I, my best friend and I, oh, my God, wait, hold on a sec. We were going to call and, like, prove that we weren't stupid Loveline listeners, and Adam was on, and he used to always, like, yell about how stupid his listeners are, and but, okay, so the reason why they have red feet, and I, like, talked to three of them to confirm this, and this is ridiculous, because my friend was so embarrassed, he chased people out of the room, is because, like, okay, depending on what handedness they are, their penis curves in that direction, and then they pee on that foot, and then when they pee on that foot, they spend a lot of time cleaning off their foot, which is why it's red, because they've been cleaning their foot.
Well, I think they made that story up too, frankly.
That's amazing.
Guys do pee on their feet, and then they usually just don't. Just most of the guys, when they walk in the shower, pee on their feet and then just go right on about their shower. They don't do any special cleaning, which I'm sure will make you even happier to hear that.
I usually lay on my back and pee all over myself, and I never turn red.
And he never scrubs afterwards.
And I never scrub, never.
Because it's sterile.
Oh, okay. Oh. So they shouldn't bother scrubbing their feet anymore, and it doesn't matter in the first place.
It's all something.
It's called golden shower.
They're still kind of screwing with you, Emily.
Tuition at Stanford just dropped by like 50%.
Oh, no. We really are smart.
I know. You have to be there. There's no doubt in my mind you're smart. But book smart and other kinds of smart sometimes don't always add up to the same thing. Just saying. Jay, what do you think? Redfoot?
Yes.
Actually, Emily, to really sort it out, to honest to God, I'd have to kind of examine it. And that sounds weird, but I'd have to examine the red foot to know what we're talking about here. And people don't really know how to describe or look at dermatologic issues. So here we go. Let's see. Where should
How about
we
I pee on my foot right now and you check it out?
Then you have to scrub it afterwards,
I'll
see.
Well, so. I will.
D, what's up?
Okay, first and foremost, Jay, my friends and I are huge cult fans of yours, and you're the sexiest thing ever.
Nice. Oh, thank you.
So, why should it be cult? It's mainstream.
Yeah. Well, I know, but every Thursday we get together and love on you and watch your movies. So
every nice. Thursday, that's
every
nice.
Thursday.
Well done.
Nice. Yeah.
But the problem is that I kind of messed with one of my friends.
Male or female?
I messed with a male friend, but it was her. It was a guy she was dating.
Uh-oh.
So that's
a sacred rule you've broken, right?
Yes, it is. And I've been, like, sick with guilt and wanting to die and everything. And now we're dating. And
dating the same guy?
I'm dating the guy, and I don't know how to tell my friend.
Oh, D.
Yeah, and it's been a problem now because I haven't been able to get together with my Thursday Silent Bob night.
Because she's one of the friends in that group.
Yes, she is.
So, Jay, you were intimately involved in this mess. Give her some advice.
It's
like you're
none.
Speaking to her right through the television, the video screen they're watching.
I have no advice for that.
Well, let's think about it. She screwed. She sort of messed up, and then kept going.
So wait, is he dating the other girl too, or no?
No, I'm dating the girl's boyfriend.
Well, are they still dating?
No, he stopped talking to her.
So they stopped talking for other reasons, and behind her back, you're dating him now.
Or did he stop?
They were dating, and then I started to sleep with him. And
you stole her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Does she have any idea this happened?
No.
Is she trying to talk to you about her broken heart because this guy suddenly left her?
Yes.
Oh, that's got to be weird.
Yes. And I've been with her when she's tried to call him.
Oh, dear.
So first question is, why would you date a guy that did that to your friend? Don't you think he'll do this to you?
I'm a twisted bitch. Yeah, that's been a...
Don't you have a couple other cute friends, I'm sure? I bet he's going to pass you all along. He'll move along.
Do you need to know, remember these words. What Jay is alluding to here is that you want to know how your relationship's going to end with this guy? Just look at how his last one ended. That's exactly how yours is going to end.
That's a side issue that I've been having with him, too, like my trust issues. But he's been good. And
yeah, well, for the time being, he will be. And then he's going to move on and do something like this
good to
you. Yeah, by the way, she thinks he's good, too.
Yeah, yeah. When were you messing around with him? Where was she? Would he tell her he would tell her that he's going out with the boys and stuff?
No, he wouldn't talk to her because he's very, like...
He just wouldn't answer the phone?
He's very secretive and stuff.
Secretive. Cowardly, I'd call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Secretive.
It's amazing. That's like the worst, I think.
Yeah, D.
He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah. Great guy. This is, again, how little women know about men. This is a bad guy. It's like saying, except for the fact that he abuses little boys or that he's a murderer. But great guy. You'd
really
love him. You'd love hanging out with him. Now, D, here's the deal. You've lost this friend. You have to realize it.
Yeah.
And you have to give her at least the respect of telling her what you've done so she knows that she needs to move along and let her get angry with you and let her reject you and whatever she has to do because that's you deserve that. That's the price of what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You've really been a poor friend, and you don't deserve to be her friend right now, and that's reality. And you've got to give her at least the dignity of being able to break it off with him and move on, so she's not wondering what the hell happened and what's the matter with her.
All right, thank you very much, sir.
Of course, you're not going to do that. You can continue to hide out. You are going to do that? Really?
I'll balls up somewhere.
Yeah, you don't want him to do it either. You need to do it.
Oh, yeah.
This is mano a mano, girl-to-girl stuff, okay?
Yeah, next Thursday, or this Thursday.
Over your films.
Nice.
You know what? And she's not going to believe me. That guy on the screen there, you know what he told me? He told me I should tell you this. Yeah, we're going to call the hospital. Jeff, 18.
Yeah, I have two things. One's a lot more important than the other one. First off, I'm really worried about the kid I babysit up the street. I kind of think his dad might be molesting him.
Why?
Well, like, I always thought he acted, like, a little, like, feminine, kind of. But, I mean, like, he always wants to do stuff like wrestle, which is, I understand that. I was a kid. Well, I still am a kid. But either way, like, when I put him to sleep, like, he's, like, afraid of the dark and stuff. But then when I went on his dad's computer, I found, like, gay porn. And I don't know, I just...
So far, you haven't told me anything that leads me to believe that this
man
is doing...
Well, I know. It's more of like an intuition kind of thing, which is...
Well...
Yeah.
Do you want to make reports to the Department of Child Protective Services? You can do that. In fact, that's really what you ought to do, is call them, make an anonymous report, tell them what you've observed, and they'll give you some advice on how to sort of proceed. Probably, you're not going to do anything. You know, there's really not much you can do. You don't have any evidence. Maybe they can notify the pediatrician that takes care of this kid. Keep an eye open for something that might be going on. But you, as an 18-year-old, are not going to be able to do too much. And by the way, all these things that you're sort of judging these guys on, I mean, it's normal for a kid to be afraid of the dark. It's normal for a kid to want to wrestle. Whether or not he has, you know, sexual orientation issues or gender identity issues, that has nothing necessarily to do with abuse issues. Sin 22.
Hi.
Hey, what's going
actually
on?
My question was if it's harmful for like our health, like girls, to have like hardcore sex when we're like in our periods.
Jay?
Is it like harmful or
am I into doing it or?
Excuse me?
Sure.
It but is?
I don't see why it'd be harmful.
What makes
but
you,
I'd want to know.
You What makes you think it'd be harmful, Sam?
Like because sometimes like it kinda like hurts. Like in there.
Yeah, the hurting is more the general inflammation that occurs in and around your period, and there can sometimes be ovarian cysts that's still healing too. So they obviously you want to avoid things that hurt just because that's your body telling you should, but it's not as though there's some specific medical problem you're going to get into, except that if you have sex with a guy without a condom who has like a sexually transmitted disease like chlamydia or gonorrhea,
uh-huh.
It can develop into PID, and other bacteria too can predispose to that. So you can get tubal infections in and around your period. So there's some added risk, but it's not because of the hardcore quality of the sex.
Okay, so is it better to wear a condom when you're actually...
Yeah, all things being equal, it is. It's better to wear a condom anyway, all the time.
Okay, sure.
But it's not, again, it's not the activity that's the problem. It's the introduction of bacteria.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank
cool.
you, Dr. Drew.
All right, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Pete, 20.
Hi, I wanted to know if there's... I heard vitamin E will straighten your penis out.
Jay, you got any curve?
Yeah.
Do you dress really. To one side or the other?
Like straight up.
What?
Probably at like a 45-degree angle there.
You mean a curve, like a banana curve?
Yeah.
That's kind of normal.
Normal?
45 degrees. That would be a little bit extreme, though, I guess.
Does he pee on his foot?
What's up?
Yeah, do you get a red foot?
No red foot.
No red feet. That sounds normal, Pete. I really the vitamin E thing is for something called Peyronie's disease, where a plaque forms on one side or the other, or on the bottom. Typically, it kind of pulls it over to that side. Can you feel anything in the top surface? Any kind of scar or plaque?
I feel like there's like almost like a tendon shorter or something.
No, I don't, that all seems like normal. But 800 units of vitamin E for a couple months couldn't hurt anything. You can see if it works. These sort of more what are called acquired versions of Peyronie do sometimes respond to that. Okay, here you go, Jay. Another one for you. This is Sharon, 16.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How was the one that called with the James dude from Ghost Whisperer and whatever?
Okay.
Remember me. And I was basically wondering, why is it whenever I'm in class sometimes. Why is it I have these odd immediate bursts of sexual urges and I don't even feel like I'm horny or whatever you want to say?
We're having trouble following you, Sharon.
It's like sometimes during my morning classes and my after-lunch classes, I have these urges to have sexual relations with someone or to masturbate, and it's like really weird because,
because it doesn't suddenly build to that. It sort of washes over you, or what is it that's weird?
It's like. It bursts up out of nowhere, usually it's in, right in the middle while I'm doing an essay or writing
nice.
Or whatever. And it's like,
it really is a problem, isn't it? Nowhere. It's not fair. What was God thinking?
And I got a question.
Yeah.
Who was that mocked me?
I don't know.
They copied me when I said yeah.
Oh, it's Jay. Jay from
Jay. Yeah, that was me.
Oh.
Jay and Silent Bob, Clerks. Clerks 2.
Cool.
And a Paris Hilton film too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that like?
It's good. It's fun.
Was that before she was as present as she is now all over everything?
Present? What do you mean?
I mean, she's just everywhere now. She's like this huge sort of.
Yeah, it was. We did that.
How long ago was that?
Maybe about 10 months ago, I think.
She was still. Yeah, you know, was she an interesting person?
Yeah, it wasn't too long. No, yes, I've known her for a few years now, but.
How do you guys know each other?
Through Kim. Kim Stewart. That's how I know Jack too. Is
huh?
I don't know.
Huh? Yeah.
Jack Osborne.
Yeah, we know.
Remember earlier we were talking about Jack.
The Jack was supposed to be on the show tonight. And
yes.
Tell us the story real quick
about him calling up.
Yeah,
He called me up saying that I still don't understand. He just was like, I have to leave town or I forgot, and I was like, all right. So he said that he didn't want to just leave. You know,
leave us hanging. He gave us somebody good. So. That's good. Jack always comes through. He's a responsible guy.
He did. He called and called. And then my phone died. And he was like, then he started texting me on my sidekick. He's like, where'd you go, dude? What's going on?
You're trying to get away. Mm-hmm. All right. Jason Mewes is here from Jay and Silent Bob Clerks. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Jason Mewes. You know him from Clerks. Bottoms Up, Clerks 2, coming up this summer. Jay and Silent Bob, he is Jay. And this next call, I'm very curious about. Jessica, 19.
Hi, Jay, I had a question for you.
Sure.
I saw the evening with Kevin Smith, all the colleges, the stand-up kind of Q&A he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that fun? Hang on a second, Jessica.
Okay.
It was
That's
fun.
Cool, right, isn't it?
Yeah, it
what
is.
What schools do you go to?
All over.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch. We just did one, though. We did one in... In London, and we did one in Toronto.
Wow.
It's going to be Evening with Kevin Smith, too. That's
nice.
Like the second one. It's called Throw the Podium Down or whatever.
Nice.
But that's another four-hour Q&A. Mm. And they weren't colleges. They just were Q&As that they
community.
Threw together. Yeah, because he does that a lot, too.
And oh, that's cool.
He really
about
does
the business
them. I just
or about...
go with them. About everything. They ask questions about movies, and he tells... He's really good at it. He could go for, like, 5-6 hours.
Wow.
He just goes on, people ask questions, and he just runs with stories and stuff. And
neat.
It's good. So what was your question? Was there a question?
Yeah, no. So he said there's a bunch of stories about you, but there's one in particular that I had a question about. There was one where he said that you came in after school and then kicked in the door and you just started performing fellatio on everything.
Yes, that was at the community center I was saying earlier where I met Kevin. Not where we met, where we started hanging out at this community center.
Yeah, when you were in?
When I was young.
In high school or whatever?
Yes, I was like 15.
And what happened?
I'm still a little obnoxious, but I was way obnoxious then. And I used to just run around and entertain myself and pretend to suck things off and all, you know, just different stuff. I used to pull my Can you say balls?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was pulling my balls out and stuff. So,
do you hang out with Steve-O ever? He's still doing it.
He's still pulling his balls
out. Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I try not to too much.
I'm not sure anymore. he actually performed oral on the football team, but
no, it wasn't on other. It wasn't on people. It was a video game. That's Kevin's story. Is like I don't really remember it. I remember stuff like that, and I'd run in, and there was an Asteroids machine. Remember, you used to have the
yep.
The
there's one here
ball?
At K-Rock. Yeah.
Yeah, and there you know there's nothing to really. But I was
see.
Doing that.
I see.
And it was going to like the flagpole. And
anything that stood pencil. Out and stood up.
Yes.
Ah, nice.
Kind of like
and
a
that's
circus
how he
seal?
Said. That's when he said because before that he you know he's like a little kid and he's obnoxious, but then he said after that he was like this kid's funny and he's don't really care that anyone's watching. That's the story he tells. I don't really remember that.
And you did something like that in Clerks too. Like you got down on your knees and you were imitating
I was
some
circus
slot.
Seals.
Slot. Yeah, circus seals, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of the That's in Clerks is sort of how I used to act
in real
much
life.
To a tee. Like
it's fantastic,
just,
it really is.
Just very, very obnoxious and smoked a lot of weed and.
Well, here's another question, Megan 21. This is for Jay.
Hey Jay, I wanted to know. I'm a huge fan of Jay and Silent Bob. You guys are so awesome. I wanted to know, are you actually sober through the whole movie, or do you actually? Smoke any of what you're, you know, what the movie's about.
In Jay and Bob.
The first
are you asking?
Yeah, in Jay and Silent Bob.
The last one.
I think what you're asking in the first one, were you actually smoking pot? Right? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question.
Oh, yes. In Clerks, I was smoking, yeah.
Yeah. What about...
Because we did it, wasn't just, a studio.
Not just that you were high, but when you were allegedly smoking pot, you actually smoked pot.
Yeah, because it, you know, it wasn't a studio film, so...
You could do whatever you want.
Yeah. So there's a lot of drinking going on and smoking in that one. The other ones, no.
Right on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. We're going to see what this next call is. This Cara on 5. Is she for Jay? Let's see. Cara?
Yeah, sorry.
What's up?
I was wondering if you thought that people could really make a decision with bisexuality. Do you think that it's possible to make a choice? And before, do you think people can't?
Before? You talking to Jay or me?
You.
But what do you mean a choice? What's going on with you? So you have a problem? A question?
Yeah, I mean, I have relationships with both men and women, and it just makes me uncomfortable. I just wonder if you feel like people can make a decision and stick with it.
Well, here's the deal. You sound like someone who has a lot of chaos and sexual confusion, mm-hmm. and when you can't have a close relationship, you will sabotage it any way you can. And so, no, you, with issues with sexuality, with confusion, with trouble with intimacy, no, you're going to have trouble staying close to anybody, whether or not you have the sexual identity issue or not. But having the sexual identity issue just adds more chaos and more trouble and more opportunity for you to sabotage any closeness. You see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So that's really the issue. It's not can you choose. You know, when it comes to one's emotional lives, when it's how we conduct ourselves in relationships, it's not a cognitive process. It's not like a choice. We're responding to deep feelings and drives. That's what puts us in those relationships. And we can't tolerate that and can't tolerate the closeness. Those drives push us in another direction. It's not like, no. I've chosen now to be this way. I'm going to be just with women from now on. That's crap. You're trying to convince yourself of all kinds of things, but you're thinking doesn't really substantially change the motivations and the drives that make it so difficult for you to stay in a relationship. Would you agree?
Sure.
If you disagree, please go right ahead.
No, I agree, I guess.
Because think about it. Do you think when you go in a relationship, for instance, let's say you may choose to participate in, let's say, in recovery or something, mm-hmm. and that helps you then change your emotional life so that you can then be close to people. Mm-hmm. But if you're just someone who's confused and out there and had trauma and you're going to try to force yourself one way or another, you can't. It's like trying to force yourself not to do drugs or to stay sober or whatever else people try to force themselves to do that are under the influence of very powerful drives that win every time. Carrie, you with me on this?
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems like there should be some way to address it and clarify.
There is. There absolutely is, but it's not a rational decision-making process. It's an experiential process where you learn to be close with other people. And there the books start to come clear to you which way you want to go, whether you want to commit yourself to male or female. But when you're confused and all over the place, you can't commit to anything because the drives keep pulling you around.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
Should I guess? I guess so.
Elizabeth, 17.
Yes.
You're on with Jay.
Hi. I just want to know how you get to be so sexy. I love
Drew?
No, Jay. I would never get a call from a 17-year-old like that.
Who's sexy, Drew or me?
I'm talking to you, Jay. I love you.
Oh, thank you.
No, I love you. You're like, oh my God. No, you have no, idea. You're the epitome of my wet dream. I love you. Me and all my friends. We love you. And we sit there and we watch Jay Silent Bob Strike Back. And we sit there.
Every Thursday?
And we like quote it all day. What?
Do you have a friend named Sharon?
Not every Thursday.
What?
Do you watch it every Thursday?
No, we watch it like every day.
Ooh,
oh, every day. Wow.
I've never met someone who's the epitome of a young lady's wet dream. It's nice to meet you. It's excellent. Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you.
Quite a pinnacle of success to achieve. Well, Elizabeth, you want to say anything to him before we go to commercial?
No, not really. I just want to say I love you. And me and my friends are like your biggest fans. And thank you for being so hot.
Thank you.
When he's on his way to Knott's Berry Farm, he'll look you guys up.
Okay, thank you.
All right, they're in Buena Park. All right, Jason Mewes.
We were just in Buena Park. That's where we shot Clerks.
See? Elizabeth, hang on. We may have more to talk about. Mm-hmm. Clerks 2, Jay and Silent Bob with Jason Mewes from all these projects. You know him with Kevin Smith, and he's the pinnacle of Elizabeth's wet dreams. We'll be back with more Jay after this. That's right. It's Loveline. Yeah, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jason Mewes in here tonight. Clerks 2, Jay and Silent Bob. He is Jay. You know him from all those projects with Kevin Smith. Lots of calls for him tonight. Let's start first with Josh, who is 18. Josh.
Oh, hey. I didn't expect to get through.
And there you are.
I was actually curious about the Chasing Dogma, the comic that Smith did. We have a copy of it at my local comic shop. And I'm contemplating buying it just because I have Kevin Smith everything. And I'm wondering if I mailed it to the secret stash, if I could get your John Hancock on it.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm also curious that in the Clerks X DVD, you cut your hair. And I'm wondering if you grew it back for Clerks 2. Or
I did. It's growing. It's not as long as it was in Jay and Bob, but it's getting there.
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, it's down on my shoulders. So, yeah, I had to start letting it grow, and Kevin said we were going to start shooting. So
is that about where it's going to be in the movie, or did you go with weave?
No, it's my real hair. I refuse to put extensions. Or weaves, as you say.
Here's Kat, is 24. Kat?
Hey.
Hey, what's up there?
I am just curious to know. I can get off from sex, no problem, but I've never gotten off from oral sex. And I'm just wondering, is that something that some girls can never get off from, or is it something that I'm doing wrong?
No, this is sort of the typical syndrome. Here's sort of the primer on female.
Like the magic advice.
No, here's the primer on female orgasm. About 60% of women can only have orgasm with oral sex.
Okay.
They will not have orgasm with intercourse. They're genetically set up that way. There's another 40% that will have sex in intercourse. Excuse me, will have orgasm with intercourse. About half of them, most of the time, and sometimes with oral sex, about 10% of those, about 10% overall, 20% of the 50% group, will have multiple orgasms with intercourse and will find oral sex uncomfortable. So basically, the more orgasmic you are with intercourse, the more difficult it is to tolerate oral sex. Does that sound like you?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. Why? I didn't hear that word. Really?
She sort of went, oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I directed her to talk to you because I had to cut the filthy whore's mouth. But yeah, she said F.
Can I talk to her again real quick?
Yeah, if we have
Tell
to.
Me when. Come on.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm reset.
All right. Kat?
Oh, sorry.
No F-bombs or S-bombs, please.
Okay. So what's a better orgasm? I mean.
It's just different. People are, women have a huge genetic range in terms of how they're set up, in terms of their sexual functioning. And most of them are in the range where orgasm isn't caused by intercourse. It's caused by some sort of direct stimulation like oral sex. And some of the lucky ones have multiple orgasms repeatedly with intercourse only.
Okay.
Is that you? You have multiple or are you just sort of prone? You have sequential?
Just sex, not oral.
Do you have multiple though?
No.
So you're one that just has one with sex only?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like 30 minutes later I can have another one, right?
Right. Okay, so again, the more orgasmic with sex, the less orgasmic with oral, and vice versa.
Okay.
Got it?
So
that's
no,
normal.
So I'm
That's how you're set up. There's a study out of Australia that showed pretty clearly that it's a genetic issue, and you can't mechanically or by any other means move yourself from one category to the other. Now, recognize that there are a good number of women, maybe 20 or 30%, they're sort of in the middle there that could go one way or the other depending on who they're with.
An actual physical test, you think?
That they did?
Yeah.
They did a bunch of research. There's been a lot of this research lately on
just a bunch of girls and one dude just went to town.
No, I'm sure it wasn't one guy. It was more, I think, probably self-reporting in terms of what they could and couldn't do, what they've experienced across the range of lifetime experiences. Ivan, 17.
Hey, what's up, doctor? Hey, Jay.
Hello.
Yeah, my question's I actually need advice. Like, when I was 15, I was, raped. And, right now I'm 17, and I have my girlfriend, but I don't really know how to tell her. And,
who raped you?
Some random guy off the street.
He held you at gunpoint or something? What happened?
What?
What happened? He held you at gunpoint or something?
Yeah, something like that. I was kind of disoriented at the time, and I was walking home, and bam, it just happened.
Wait a minute.
I already reported it and everything. It was
good.
2 years ago.
That doesn't make any sense at all. No. Why were you disoriented?
Huh?
Why were you disoriented? You're sounding disoriented now. Why were you disoriented then?
I came back from a party and I was a little out of it.
You were intoxicated?
Yeah.
And somebody jumped you and did this to you?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so now I'm 17, 2 years later, I'm kind of over it. I still have nightmares. But, so I have my girlfriend and we're active and stuff. But, it's just hard to tell her, and, she'll be I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell her.
Well, the good news is it wasn't when you were 5.
Yeah.
And it is something you can certainly have a post-traumatic stress reaction to and get flashbacks and all kinds of unpleasant symptoms when you're being sexual, naturally enough. And I think you ought to tell your girlfriend about it. I think she'd want to know about it. It's not as though you were, hurt or damaged in some sort of very, very deep way. You just were, victim of a violent crime, have to include sex.
Yeah. But
I would tell. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah.
Would you tell her?
No,
yes.
I would. It would be tough, though. I can understand it being tough, but I would think she should know.
What point would you bring it up? Not while they're in bed.
When would I bring it up?
Yeah.
The right moment, but not in bed.
Not in bed. So just sometime when you're having...
When I felt it was the right time to tell.
Okay. Here's a Zoltan 22. Zoltan?
Hello.
What's up?
Sorry. Yeah, not much. Just lounging out in the car.
Zoltan,
here.
What's the question, buddy? Here we go.
Just chilling.
Yeah, just chilling. Well, I can't get the radio signal inside my hotel room, so came out and listened to it in the car.
Okay, you ready to ask Jay a question?
Yeah. I'm not sure if, Jay, if you're married or not, but... I've been married for probably about a year and a half, and I just got this really awesome job about 6 months ago. And I'm just wondering...
Today, Junior?
What's the job?
The job, I'm a traveling CNC technician. I work on glass machines. And I'm just wondering, how do you deal with being away from the ones that you love for such long periods of time?
You do a lot of traveling?
I do, but I don't think I've really...
You don't have anybody like that?
Well, I mean, I haven't when I've went away, and when I have went away for a little bit, if I was dating or wanted to see someone, they would just come with.
Or you'd make sure you came back for stretches.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you do that, Zoltan?
Yeah, I hear that. Well, I'm just wondering, I'm just wondering a little bit of advice, what I could probably do to, make it better,
Not my wife. No,
well, there's a thousand ways to connect these days. You can, you know, send little instant messages, sidekicks, emails, stay connected on the telephone. And then it sounds sort of trivial, but that is important to stay connected with people because that's how relationships are sustained. They need attention. And don't go for more than a week without spending a little time refueling face-to-face.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing that really sucks about this job that I have. I mean, the job's great and everything, but chance of me being home within a month, I probably home maybe one day if I'm lucky out of a month.
Out of a month? What, are you traveling place to place, or are you just one place for a month?
I'm traveling, like, all over the United States, all over Canada. Sometimes I go
overseas.
You
got to bring your wife with you for part of this. Whatever it costs, you're going to lose this relationship if you don't pay some attention to it. Okay?
You making enough money to have her come out?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, sometimes I'm not in one... Sometimes I'm in one place for 2 days, and then...
I'm just saying, you got to make that effort. You got to do it.
Even if it's for 2 days, I would fly her out.
Bring her out. Let's pay for another connecting flight. Just keep her with you. Christina, 23.
Hello.
What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
You're on with Jay. Jay and Silent Bob. Jason Mewes.
Oh, my Lord. Well, my question is, every time me and my boyfriend are having sex, and so towards the end, it's like he's got this big thing of pretty much turning me over and wanting to give me anal, but I'm just, like, too scared. And I don't know if this is something you guys just love doing or what.
Oh, Jay, it's for you.
I'm not into that.
No.
Not into anal at all, really.
Is he? I cannot understand that whole thing. It's just that is just a bizarre impulse people have. Is he just into that position, or is he actually trying to persuade you to have anal sex?
He's trying to persuade me to, but I'm just too scared.
Well,
every time you're saying every time towards the end he wants to put in a duty hole.
Yeah.
That just don't seem right to me. Ever see American Me? Is it? Is it American Me?
I have.
You have seen that? Do you remember when dude gets out of jail and he goes home to his wife?
And what happens?
He
turns her over and he just is used to being, he was in prison for whatever amount of years. And,
wow.
You know, so I don't know.
Crazy.
Maybe something like that. I don't know.
Mm.
Hope not, though.
How long have you been with this guy?
For 3 years.
Yeesh. And each time he's done this to you?
You know what? Towards the second year and now going on the third, it's been going about that way. And I don't know. I just like, let's do something else.
But does he sort of like that position is my question.
You know what? We've gotten down to that position, but he's putting it elsewhere.
It's, right, and that's what he likes?
Yeah, he likes it, but he just wants to try anal. And
turn your radio off.
Yeah, turn your radio off. Here's the deal. Christina, why do you put up with this? You don't want to do this. You don't have to. You're in control. Cut it out or you're cutting the whole thing off. It's very simple.
Or make a deal with him. Tell him if you know, he brings you to Hustler Store, you get a strap on and let him do it to him. If he lets you do it to him, then you'll let him do it to you.
Well, you know what? I've mentioned that to him and he's very, no, we can't do that. And I don't know.
Exactly.
Christina, don't get into this giggly, no, not that. Hey. Make it serious. No. Cut it out, or you're not having any sex. Very simple. Believe me, he'll drop it then, okay?
Okay. All righty.
I wonder if that was bogus. All right, this is another call for Jay. Jimmy, 30, what's up? Jimmy? Don't think he's there. This is Javier, 18.
Hello. I remember a couple of weeks back, you, Dr. Drew, you brought up that when you were like in your late teens, early 20s, you'd get these really bad panic attacks.
I did.
Yeah, and I've been getting my own for the past couple months, and they're usually probably like the 20 or 30 minutes before I go to sleep. I'm in bed, and what will trigger them is I'll just think about... it's not even like a sexual thing with a girl. It's almost as if it's something that's pre-foreplay, something that can get you aroused and excited, just like her flicking her hair back or...
All right, and what's the question?
This is what triggers the panic attack, and it's about like 20, 30 seconds. I don't even know if it is a panic attack, but I just get into this state where... I don't know, it seems like there's like 1,000 birds in my head or something like that. I just get so flustered. And
have you been with a girl?
Huh?
Have you ever been with a girl?
Yes, I have.
And did you have those reactions when you're actually with a person?
Yeah, sort of, but it wasn't as, inflamed as it is when I'm by myself.
All right, what's your question?
Are these common?
Yes, panic attacks are common, particularly in that 18 to 22-year-old window. That's when they start to come on. If you want to have more often than not, there's sort of two major ways these are treated. One is sort of behaviorally, where you learn to look at panic as a behavior and sort of learn how to manage it and sort of like a phobia or anything else, you work your way out of it. Sometimes EMDR, if you have a trauma history, is helpful. There's an eye movement sort of technique they use. And then medications are extremely effective for this now, so you might avail yourself of that. Mason, 29.
Hey, Jay.
What's up, man?
You're the bomb diggity diggity, brother.
Thank you very much.
When you come to Frisco, bro, we'll smoke heavy.
Frisco?
Yeah. And I'm not
nobody
gay.
From San Francisco said Frisco.
I'm not from Frisco.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Nobody says Frisco if they're from San Francisco.
I'm from Reno.
That sounds more like it. So how are you going to meet? How are you going to meet Jay in San Francisco?
What's up?
Are you so high that you don't know where you are right now?
Oh no, I know where I'm at.
Okay, how's he going to meet you in San Francisco if you're in Reno?
No, I'm from Reno in Frisco.
I see.
But and at the same token, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I like what you do.
Well, I appreciate that, Mason.
You and Adam started something off quite a while ago, and I paid attention a little bit, but that was in my heavy weed smoking days when you guys started, and just recently I've been hearing you guys do good, man.
Well, thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. This is Sharina 21.
Hello.
Hi, Sharina. What's up?
Hey. Okay, I have a problem. Okay, I'm with a man, and I love him to pieces. But when I get off myself, I picture women. And I
by yourself or with him?
By myself. I can't get off with him because I'm too busy picturing women.
Okay.
And I'm trying to see if this is healthy. I mean, I've been with women before when I was younger.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, you know, I realize that I'm not physically attracted to them. It's just like a visual attraction, like a visual bisexuality type thing. Do you see what I mean?
I like
looking at women, but I don't like touching them. Because if I want to touch something they have, I'll just touch myself.
So that was not a good experience when you'd been with women?
No, it wasn't. Something was missing, obviously, in that.
What was that like? What happened?
Oh, God. With the women?
Yeah.
Oh, just messy.
Oh.
And I prefer penetration. And it's like when I get off myself, I picture women all the time. I cannot picture women.
How old was this girl that you experimented with?
I was 15 and they were 39,
13?
28.
What? You were 13?
I was 15, and they were 39 and 28.
So they were criminals. This was sexual abuse.
I was working at an adult store illegally.
These are criminals. You were abused as a kid, and when you get sort of worked over by an adult during your sort of developmental stages, that can skew your orientation quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It can create a coupled association between the high arousal you experience, even though you didn't like it, and just sexuality in general. So this is really kind of a bad situation for you. What were you doing in an adult bookstore at 15?
Oh, God. Well, they pay a lot of money, and it was everybody there was underage. But
where were your parents?
They shut the store down.
Where were your parents?
My mom didn't know that I worked there until later on.
Where was your dad?
Not in the picture.
And what's up with your mom that she didn't know where you were?
Well, when she found, I lied to her and told her I was working at a restaurant. And then when I told her a few months ago, like, my boss was like this crazy dude. He can get into people's minds. Like, he was like this pornographic Mr. Rogers, and he worked at this bookstore in Oceanside. And he pretty much convinced her that it was good for me to work there.
He convinced your mom, and your mom fell for that ass?
Yeah, she did, because he was good. He got into all of our heads that it was just good to work there. And he told me I should experiment with women and with other things. And
all right, well, I suggest you file a report on this guy.
Well, yeah, he got his store got shut down, and he got, like, arrested because
there
he impregnated,
go.
Like, a 12-year-old girl.
There you go. Okay, do you see this? You see how dangerous this gentleman is?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I
he has left an imprint on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do suggest you see some about this, because this guy, it's not horrible, but you need a chance to sort this out. Now, on one hand, women do find other women very sexually arousing. It's sort of our image in our culture of what sexuality is women. That's what, you know, a lot of women like to think about other women. But this, Serena, seems a little more than average, a little more than that. You're sort of stuck with that right now. And I'm sure you'd like to feel more sexual about your male partner, which is your preference. And that would take a little bit of mental health work. Jimmy, 30, you're back?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, Jason.
Hey.
I had a quick question for you. Being the comedic genius that you are, I was wondering if you had any influences on you, you know, from the comedic standpoint.
No.
No influences?
Not really.
It's just all pure Jason mania, huh?
You don't believe me. You're like, what?
I mean, didn't you see any movies growing up?
I've seen tons of movies.
I mean, this is funny.
No, I've seen
Buddy Hackett growing up or
No, I've seen tons of movies. But I mean, I don't know.
Nobody stood out.
No.
Okay.
It's true.
So Jimmy, just he's pure.
Just it was more of not like the first one we did was just Kevin
being himself.
Yeah. So.
So it's just pure.
But, I mean, believe me, I love a lot of, you know, I mean, Jim Carrey, I love a lot. I think it's awesome, and you know, there's tons of Chris Farley. But I'm not saying like I was like, oh, I want to be just like that. But
right.
I want to be like Bill Murray. It's not. That's what you're asking, but I mean, I find all this feel really funny.
That's awesome. I just want to say, Affleck, you'd a bomb in Phantom, Joe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right, this now is Jillian, 28. Jillian.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. And it's funny, the last one before was about pornography, because mine.
Yes, it was. I thought that was kind of interesting. What's the deal?
Well, mine is. I just have been noticing lately, and maybe I'm just behind here, but it seems like pornography has changed a lot with the verbiage they're using, like on the internet, in the past couple years. And I've also noticed just culturally, men are just, I don't know, it just seems in general that women are kind of being viewed as, well, I don't know, just really stupider than I think we've ever been viewed in any era.
Jillian, I have a great book for you. It's called Female Chauvinist Pigs.
What's that?
It's a book called It's Written by a Woman, and she is addressing this very issue, is why is it that women have sort of gone along with it? And I think some of her theory is off base, because she doesn't really have any clinical training or anything, but some of it is rather fascinating and well done. And she associates women's behavior. This is going to sound awful, but this is what she does. And it correlates rather well, the behavior of people in captivity and slave situations compared to that behavior versus how women are behaving in their current situation. When you are in a powerless situation, how do you respond? You go along with the images and necessities of the people in power, when in fact women have relinquished their power and could assert it again and take control of things where they don't have to be portrayed in the way they are or participate in this in any way.
Well, I think what it's confusing for me is I, being a woman, I understand from both sides of the coin. I mean, I think the women that are out there doing, I don't think the pornography is bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, if we're all grown-ups, it's fine to look at naked people and see images that are sexually stimulating. What I'm talking about is specifically the verbiage that's changed. You know, we all get pop-ups, we're on AOL or whatever. And, you know, if you're in any kind of site that's even got anything to do with adult anything, I mean, just all kinds of things pop up, and they may be unrelated. Like, I've had things pop up that just freaked me out, like bestiality and stuff. I'm like, why in the hell is that popping up? But what I'm thinking of is more that the verbiage on all of it is, it's not just sexy images now. It's like, it always has to be this stupid, you know, TCH. I know we can't say bad words on here. Do you know what I mean? Like, every image is accompanied by the fact that it says, you know how we got these girls to do this? We paid these hoes great amounts of money. Or like it says, oh, you know, we told them we had
your friends
in the movie industry, and like, you know, these stupid broads did this and that, and then it shows the images and the girls are, you know, getting these facials and all this stuff.
Hey, Jillian, this is what men are thinking. If women go along with it, that's what's going through men's minds. They're not thinking it's cute. They're not thinking it's funny. This is what guys are thinking, and it's getting more and more egregious. And that's what I'm saying. Women throughout, there's a guy named Lionel Tiger who's a biological anthropologist, and he has made a point repeatedly in his books that women throughout human history have tamed men. And without them, with them participating, men just keep going down. They keep sliding. And you're watching that right now. I would recommend that book, Female Chauvinist Pigs.
Okay, okay? I will. And I know
take a look at it.
Line, but thank you for your...
All right, all right. Bye-bye. Very interesting, though. Jay Muse, Jason Muse from Jay and Silent Bob. Clerks, Clerks 2 coming out this summer. Our phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay, you have lots of fans out there. We found out tonight you're the pinnacle of someone's wet dream. That's a first for this show. Never had somebody as a pinnacle of someone's wet dream. It's good. And we'll be back with Jay after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Love Line will be right back.
Love Line. Jason Mewes in here tonight. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. You know him from many of the Kevin Smith projects. And we're going to go right to the phones. Brian, 21.
Hey, Dr. Drew. How are you?
Brian, what's up?
I have a really good Christian friend, and we always get in these heated debates regarding whether or not homosexuality is innate or if it's a chemical imbalance. And obviously, he takes the stance that it's a purely a choice or it's chemical and it can be fixed. And I was wondering if there was anything in recent years in terms of research or whatever that it is in fact you know, biological or genetic.
Jay, you want to address that? No. There are
no
like every human behavior, there's a genetic and an environmental component and a spectrum of each. Some people have more of a biological burden, some people more of an environmental burden. But in no sense can it be thought of as a choice in this, any more than, do you sort of have a preference for the kind of person you're attracted to sexually, Brian? Right.
Yeah. Oh, I prefer women.
Oh, I understand, but do you have a particular kind of woman, particular look, particular kind of person?
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
Can I change that by teaching you to choose something else?
No.
Can I talk you out of your preferences? Is there something cognitive or rational about those preferences? No.
Right.
These are very, very powerful, primitive biological drives that are set by genetics and by the environment. And once they're set, there's not a lot of good evidence that you can change that. Now, they may change to some extent. I mean, if you have a trauma history or other things that have sort of shaped the tendency to act things out repeatedly, you can change things a little bit. You can change the intensity of some of the preoccupations. You can change the health or ill health of some of the choices. In other words, whether or not you compulsively act out something traumatically or whether you actually establish a real relationship. In either event, the sort of sexual piece, the preference, the things you found attractive really are extremely difficult, if not impossible, to change.
Right. Okay.
Think about it.
What do you think if I were to get in another heated debate with my friend? Where could I like steer him towards in terms of
Unfortunately, that's not an area of expertise for me, so I don't have sort of line and verse literature. But I'm sure, you know, go to the National Institute of Mental Health and just look up homosexuality. You'll see a ton of literature there. The fact, though, is think about trying to convince yourself or to be attracted to men. Can I convince you of that? No. No more than you can unconvince somebody of that if they have that orientation. Or if you like small breasts or big breasts or small women or whatever that preference is, no amount of choice or talking is going to really change that. Okay?
Right. Okay,
so
great.
When do you think people know they're gay, say? High school?
Well, it depends. It really does depend. Whether or not it is. Some people are born that way and they know very early. Yeah. A lot of people have sexual abuse in childhood and can't remember anything before that and sort of think that's the way they've always seen it. But it's usually something quite early in adolescence. Quite early. Okay, this is Jason for Jay. What's up, Jason?
Snooch to the booch, homies.
Snooch to the nooch.
Yeah. So, I heard one of my friends was telling me that Jay and Silent Bob did a straight-to-DVD movie, and I was looking around for it and couldn't find it nowhere. And, you know, I was wondering if that really happened or if he was just, you know, jerking my chain or whatnot.
Yeah, no, there's no straight-to-video movie. All of them been out in the theater before.
Here's Ashley. Oh, is there something else they might be talking about?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's eavesdrop on this. Ashley?
Yes. Oh, my God. Hi.
What's going on there? Turn the radio off, please.
Oh, it's off. I'm on a cell phone.
B- Beautiful. What's up?
Okay, I was wondering if it's normal. Okay, I have this boyfriend. I've been with him for a year and a half now. And every time we have sex, I just feel, like, really dirty afterwards. Like, I'm not, I can't explain it. Like, I just wonder if that's normal or if there's any way to fix that or...
It's not normal. Is it just him? Is he the only guy you've ever had sex with?
No, no. It hasn't happened before. It's just him.
He makes you feel dirty.
No, like not during. Like, during, it's great. But, like, afterwards, it's like, I wish I didn't, you know, I hadn't done it or anything, you know?
What's he doing? What's different?
What's what?
What's different? Why is this guy making you feel that way?
I don't know. I don't. I don't know.
I like the way our callers prepare for their calls. Well, Ashley, I don't know you. I don't know him. You're gonna have to help us out a little bit here. Does he do something different, or something sort of evocative or weird about the way he approaches you, or makes you feel when you're sexually intimate with him?
No, it's great. I love him, and he loves me.
Well, then there's no problem. Whatever. It's something, Ashley. Yeah. You better try to figure out what it is. You're either in denial about it, or you really are not tuning into stuff. Sort of listen to your feelings, your instincts about this, and try to figure out what he's doing. Does he remind you of something? Is it something about the way he's approaching you or demeaning you? Who knows what it is? But only you know. We don't know. Daniel, 24.
Hey, Jay, big fan. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, I want to ask you about Passion of the Clerks. Want to see, is that going to be 10 times better compared to, Clerks?
50 times better. Clerks just sucked. You all saw Clerks. Everyone hated that. I mean, it has to be better than that. Of course it was. How much better can it be?
Yeah, it's going to be good. Kevin is cutting some stuff, so I've got to see some pieces, some of the scenes cut together, and it's really funny, so
hey, what do you think about having your own radio show on Sirius Satellite, man?
What do I think about me having one?
Yeah, I think you guys should have your own show on Satellite Radio. Just go all out, you know?
I'm talking to him about that right now. Drew and I have been talking in between. You know, we're going to get our own show going.
Oh, are you? Network on Sirius.
Really. As you can see, I don't talk that much. I don't think it would pan out too much.
Oh, man, if you're like anything in the movie, then, I mean, that'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
All right, thanks, man.
It's a vote of confidence. That's nice. Kelsey, 19. What's up, Kelsey?
Hey, okay, so here's my question. I go out a lot with my friends and stuff, and we're all the same age, and they always get hit on by guys their own age, and for some reason, it's only older guys that hit on me. I mean, I get some younger guys hit on me, but for most part, it's always older guys, and I want to know what the hell is going on, you know? What the heck is going on?
Anything distinctive about you?
All my other friends kind of, are shorter and more petite and that kind of stuff, and I'm 5'9", I weigh about 170 pounds, you know? I go to the gym. It's not like I'm fat. I'm just,
No, 170.
So, I mean, I've got long hair. I mean, I don't really think that there's anything horribly distinctive about me.
You know, men like women that are sort of curvy. They really do. They women think that men like the sticks that are on Cosmo or Elle, whatnot. But for the most part, men kind of like women, or especially up in Alaska, it's a liability to be skinny.
Not in Anchorage. I mean, Anchorage is like any other city, but...
Except I've been to Anchorage. It was like 20 below zero. You couldn't walk across the street.
No, it does not get to 20 below anything.
I couldn't walk across the street, Kelsey. I couldn't walk. And I stayed at some hotel downtown there had glass windows, and it was so cold. Just they didn't have curtains in the window or something. It was unbearable.
I've seen it get down to negative 10, and that's pretty bad. You're a baby if you can't handle it.
It was windy, too. I am a baby, absolutely. And it was windy, too. By the way, now you're talking the language of people that live in Alaska. This is why the guys are attracted to you. You're made of hardy stock.
Even when I go down to Laura Freddie, me and my friend just took a trip to San Diego, and, primarily it was only older guys that hit on me. And I just, I can't understand it. I mean, because I'm not...
That's the way you really carry yourself.
How much older?
In their late 30s, their 40s, their 50s. I mean,
oh, 60s,
70s.
Maybe
not 70s.
80s, 90s.
10
guys at Canes.
Yeah, the Crips. I mean, the guys out of their coffins. It's okay.
I mean, I don't understand it. And it's not just me noticing it. In fact, one of my last boyfriends was like, hey, you get hit on by a lot of old guys. And, they can't tell me why. And it's always bothered me. And I figured you guys might be able to answer that question.
Well, you're hanging out with, you know, you're at a sort of a crossover age when 19-year-olds can look like young, very, very young people or can look like adults. And maybe you're somebody who looks more like someone in their older 20s and just more like someone that an older person would come up to and talk to who's hanging around with a bunch of young people. You know, it's weird. Older men will not come along and be with people that remind them of children. A healthy older person. But if somebody's an adult, late 20s, 30s, guys will think that's fair enough. So maybe you just look older.
So, I don't know. I guess maybe I can look older, but yeah. I don't think I look particularly that much older. So you think it's just that I look older than my friends? Or
I think so. That would be the easiest explanation. Mm-hmm. Without us knowing you, whatnot, that's about the only we can come up with. Would you say, Jane?
Yeah.
Okay. Haley, what's up there?
Hi. This comment is for Jason Mewes. I'm like a big fan, and I saw you at Comic-Con about 2 or 3 years ago. I think you were promoting Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, are you planning to go back to Comic-Con or?
Oh yeah, we. Yeah, for sure, we'll be there.
This is Tracy, 18. Tracy.
Hi.
What's up there?
Yeah, I just had it's really weird. Me and my boyfriend, when we have sex, like he likes to make animal noises, and I wasn't too sure, like if it was an impulse thing or what it was. It's like it really freaks me out.
What kind of noises?
Like dog noises, monkeys? Horse noises, like every animal noise you can think of. Like it's
amazing.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, my boyfriend does.
Is there any particular sort of positions?
Like any position, it doesn't. It's like usually like from the back, and he like wants me to like touch his like outer layer of his butt, and it's like I don't know. He makes jokes with his friends all the time, like I'm having a rim party. Do you want to come? And I'm not too sure if he's gay or what it is.
Give us an example. I'm trying to get my head around these animal noises. Like what? Give us an example. Mm-hmm. Help us out here.
I like dog noises. Like he barks and stuff.
Let's hear it. What does he sound like?
I really gotta bark.
I can't imagine what you're talking about.
Like, I don't know. Like
woof woof.
Yeah, like things like that, and like he, like any noise, like bird noise, like he chirps and things like that.
You have, Andres, you've got to give us an example, please.
He just chirp. Like, I don't know, he just makes different noises.
Does he have Tourette's or something? Or what are we talking about?
No, he's normal. I mean, but it's just, I don't understand.
Doesn't sound
like,
normal.
Is he goofing around?
Oh, he's like serious when he does it. Like you know how, like, you're regular having sex and, like, you'll moan and stuff like that? Like, he's serious, like, about the noises.
You're not going to give us an example.
Well, like
my fingers over the hold button.
Huh?
I'm about to hang up on you, so you got a couple seconds here to get around to it. You gonna tell us?
Like that.
Like what?
Like.
So it's just a grunting.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. So it's a bogus call.
It's kind of like that.
So it's bogus, right, Tracy? Is he there right now with you, putting you up to this?
No. I mean, like, he told me, like, I asked him if I can call about it because, like, I was kind of worried about it.
And what did he say?
He doesn't really say anything about it. He's like, it's nothing. Like, I guess he thinks it's normal. But
is he there in the room with you right now? Can we talk to him?
Yeah.
Let's talk to him. Give him the phone.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hey, Chris,
you know the international laws of bogosity. If we call you out on a bogus call, you're required to fess up.
Okay.
So, bogus?
Yeah.
All right. Good try, though. And good job putting your girlfriend up to it, too. It's a rare man that can get a girl to cooperate with a bogus call.
All right.
Good luck now.
Wow.
There we go. All right. This now is a Sabrina, 34.
Hey, how y'all doing? I like
We're good.
Funny. Good. Okay, I'm practicing celibacy because, you know, in this day of AIDS and HIV and everything, It's just a wonderful thing to do. So I just wanted to
know. Oh, no, you didn't.
And? And?
Don't put those little things on. This is serious.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
The benefits of it, also to encourage other people that it's okay. And also, how did you get started, Dr. Drew? Because I like sex. It's not like I'm against it or anything. But obviously, those are my reasons.
No,
and how did you get started? And for a female that's interested in getting into, like, sex education and talking to people about it, what kind of steps do you suggest somebody take?
Get a MD first and then get a specialization in an area of interest, adolescent medicine if you're interested in that, psychiatry if you're interested in that, addiction medicine. But you first need to get an MD and understand what clinical, what is clinically important in terms of people's behavior and the medical issues that pertain to all this. In terms of how I got started, I just, complete accident. I was in medical school and somebody asked me to help out on something. I thought I was doing community service back when the AIDS epidemic was, back when the AIDS epidemic was just getting started, and terms like safe sex hasn't been invented yet. Discussions about celibacy weren't being had yet. And I did it for 10 years for free. I thought I was doing community service. And it sort of developed into this whole thing. And celibacy definitely is a great option and certainly something that should be encouraged. Unfortunately, a lot of young people are not doing that. And we're sort of, if you ever wonder why it's a good idea, listen to the show for a few minutes and you'll hear a lot of the consequences that occur because of not making that choice.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, Jason Mewes here from Jay and Silent Bob. You crack up every time I list all your...
Didn't.
You know, I hate that drop, and if it offends me, so I can just imagine how other people feel about it. Jay and Silent Bob, Clerks 2 coming out this summer. Jason Mewes in here answering your questions. If you want to talk to him, it's 1-800-LOVE-191, and we'll be right back.
This is Loveline.
That's right. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We have just a few minutes to take calls, so let's get right back to it here. Here's Sean, who wants to follow up on our animal noise call of a few minutes ago, which was bogus, but Sean, you're not bogus, right?
No, not. Not at
What's
all.
What's your deal? You make animal noises during sex.
I have before, yes.
Why, for God's sake?
Pretty much bragging rights, really.
Just to, what, to be exploitive of women and say, you never, but tell your buddies about it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, are you going to give us an example of what you do?
Sure.
So it's sheep,
yeah,
goats,
sheep,
good, or, anything else?
That's pretty much it. Sheep
I
is my favorite
how the noise
one.
Gives you bragging rights. Because you tell
yeah,
your friends you were making noises?
Yeah, we actually would have contests to see who can make the most bizarre noises.
We had a call, Jillian, about 15 minutes ago, was curious about why men are so exploitative to women. And here we go. Here we go. This is how men work. They're a beautiful thing. Don't these women ever turn around and want to sock you?
No, not really. It was mostly a joke, you know. She was in on it.
Really? You asked her about it? How'd you feel if I made animal noises while we're having sex?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, go ahead. Mr. Ed?
Sorry?
Sean, we're proud of you. We're very proud of you. This is Max, 18.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Max.
This question basically pertains to the readdressal of, like, the Harry Met Sally idea. Can men and women actually be friends? I mean, Harry would say no, that sex always gets in the way. So I'm wondering, isn't it healthier to try and basically admit the sexual attraction and move on, integrating that.
You're gay.
Thank you very much, Drop. Or is that just asking for trouble?
What do you think, Jay?
I think you can be friends with... I have a lot of female friends, but a lot of them I did wind up having sex with.
Or
still stay friends.
Well, and that's not the question. The question is, do you think... All right, there's some that's about Harry. Is sex always involved, or sexual attractions always involved in a male-female relationship, particularly in young men and women?
Exactly.
So you're saying...
Is it?
Yes.
I would agree with you. I think it's yes. I think it's always there. I think friendships occur in young... None of the three of us, I'm just thinking you'd agree with us, Max, on this. We're not saying that men and women can't be great friends. They can
exactly.
be. But what starts the friendship off, in almost every situation I've seen, somebody's attracted to somebody and the other person doesn't respond. And they kind of settle for friendship. Now, women, generally, in my experience, are very flexible with that. They go, okay, I'll be your friend. They're fine. And they kind of settle into friendship. Men can tend to harbor all kinds of plans. They've got a war room built. They've got ancillary, you know, plans. They've got dossiers. They're waiting for that girl to break up with her boyfriend. How often do I hear about women saying, you know, I can't. My friend Max, he's great. He's been around for years. And when I broke up with Stu, one thing led to another, and there we were having sex. Okay, wait, Max has been planning that for 3 years. Yeah. I mean, come on. So your good friend that you end up having sex with, believe me, he's by the way, it's one of the differences between men and women. Women, if a man has just broken up with a woman, she doesn't want him, I don't want him, no, forget it. But a man, it really behaves like sort of a lion in the bush, you know, watching a herd of antelope go by, and the one in the end with the broken leg, that's the one they're going for. And that's the way they work when the woman breaks up with the boyfriend. Would you agree, Max?
I would definitely agree. And just as like a final closing question, I mean, is it a good idea to basically admit that attraction in a friendship and to move on? Or,
yeah.
I mean,
'cause
that would kind of eliminate the whole predatory thing.
I think it might be feel it's okay to bring it up, but if you keep bringing it up, it's going to feel a little intrusive, and I think women are going to push back and feel kind of grossed out about the friendship at a certain point. You need to contain all that and go ahead and be a friend. Because your motivation to keep bringing it up is maybe we'll become friends with benefits, maybe we'll incorporate it into this relationship. Come on. She wants to be your friend. She doesn't want to have sex with you. Otherwise, she'd be your boyfriend. She'd be your girlfriend, and she'd be having sex with you. That's that. This now is Christy, 26.
Hello.
Hey, what's happening? You're on with Jay.
Hey,
Jason
is this Dr. Drew?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was calling because I've noticed that it's not all the time, but every now and then, and I haven't really kept track of exactly what's going on at the time, but sometimes when I have sex, I have like pain in my, kind of across from my hip bone. And like last night, it was on my left side across from my hip bone, and every time he'd go in, it was like he was hitting something or...
He is hitting something. He hits your cervix and flips your uterus up and down. That kind of is painful. And if you have ovarian cysts or endometriosis or any tubal or uterine infections, it can be quite painful.
I went to the hospital not too long ago for right-sided pain. They thought it was my appendix, and it turned out they couldn't find anything wrong. And so I'm wondering why I'm having so much pain in that area.
Why are you going to the hospital? Why don't you see a gynecologist to have a proper workup?
Well, I thought that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out. Do I need to go see somebody, or is this
you need to see a gynecologist.
Okay.
Could be a cyst. Could be endometriosis. Could be uterine infection. Could be tubal infection. Could be a lot of different things. Could be nothing. Could be a retroflex uterus or a flipped uterus.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I thought maybe it was an ovary thing. Do I have time for one more question?
It could be an ovarian cyst. That's correct. What's your other question?
Is it okay? My husband and I are very touchy-feely, lovey-dovey, and we have 2 kids, 4 and 6. Is it okay to be like that in front of them, or is that going to make them...
No. I mean, it's good to be... It's great to be physically intimate with somebody in front of your kids. That's you're the model for their relationships in the future and for their sense of intimacy. To be overtly sexual, though, is a little weird for them. So maintain proper boundaries. Jason Mewes is in here with me. It's Loveline, and we'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody, that about does it for Loveline tonight. Jason Mewes, thank you for coming in here.
Thank you.
Keep an eye out for Clerks 2 this summer. Wide release?
Yeah.
That should be cool. And listen, tomorrow night we've got Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park and Fort Minor. Is that a new band he's got going? We'll hear about that tomorrow night when he shows up. So until that time, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Jason Mewes saying good night and stay well.
I have these urges to have sexual relations with someone or to masturbate. And it's like really weird because,
Because,
yeah.
And I got a question.
Yeah.
Who was that mocked me?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.